Okay, all right. That'll work. Well, as you can see, we missed last Sunday, so we're all a little bit off a step this day, but we're catching up. So I want to introduce our speaker this morning, Dan Klinger. He is... done a lot of work over the years with Teens for Christ, and most of you know him. And at this time, we'll turn it over to Dan. So.
Well, it's a joy to be with you this morning, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. It's a joy to be with you, and my wife, Leveda, wishes she could be here also, but she's teaching a girls' Sunday school class at our church, and we've been gone a few weeks over the fall and in November, and she thought she better stay back and teach her Sunday school class. But I am delighted to have my daughter, my youngest daughter here, Kirsten's here. She's from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She's a marriage and family therapist and works for first responders. And so we're delighted to have her here. You know, and I was thinking, you know, it's hard to believe that our youngest is 30 years old. Man, where the time flies. And I see all the young children here, and I'm just delighted to see young kids, young families here. And you know, there was a time when our three kids were little, real little. Just seems like all you were doing is feeding and changing diapers. And as an encouragement to you parents with young children, just want to give you hope. They do grow up. And that won't be that way forever. So, but it is a delight to be here this morning. And this morning I was thinking of a memorable gift that I received for Christmas as a boy. I was about 10 years old. By then, I had already developed an interest in cars and engines, and I like mechanics. I like figuring out how things should be and how things run. And on that Christmas day, I unwrapped a model 350 V8 engine. I was thrilled. Now, for some of you, you wouldn't be thrilled with such a gift. I was excited. And so within a few hours of following instructions, the pieces all came together. And what made it so much fun was that the main part of the engine, what you call the block, was clear. And so I could see how the crank and connecting rods and pistons and other parts of the engines worked together. And my model even had little lights that went on the top of the cylinder heads to simulate spark plugs firing. Well, it was not only fun to put together, but it gave me a visual of how engines actually worked that I still have in my mind to this day. Well, we're going to take a look at Matthew 2, 1 through 12. And this is a gift that I received, but we're going to take a look in this passage to see gifts that the wise man brought to Jesus. And so if you want to turn into your Bibles to Matthew 2, 1 through 12, you can follow along. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And out of respect for God's word, would you stand with me, please, as we read it, if you can. All right, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Well, King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and you will find him, and come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went away, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Jerusalem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, we're going to discover who the wise men are. In some versions of the Bible, they call them the Magi. Where did they come from? And what was the significance of the gifts that they brought? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But before we dive in, let's pray God's blessing on his word. Thank you, Lord, for today, for the privilege to gather together to worship you. Open up our hearts and our minds to be receptive to what you have in store for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the wise men were a special class of priests in the Persian Empire, which is modern-day Iran. They were the professors and philosophers of the day. They were brilliant and highly educated scholars who were trained in medicine, history, religion, prophecy, and astronomy. It made perfect sense to call them wise men because they were advisors to kings. The Magi were experts in the stars and claimed to be able to determine the future by them. The Bible doesn't say this, but according to historians, they traveled on horseback in a caravan. They often had bodyguards with them. They had their own modern-day CIA to protect them. So why would they travel so far from home to find this Christ child? It was a journey of over 1,000 miles from modern-day Iran to Israel on horseback. Now, I'm not sure. I should have researched this. How long would it take to ride on horseback 1,000 miles? A long time. I don't know. I should have checked that out. But they came to see the baby-born king of the Jews. To me, this is fascinating. They knew a baby had been born, but they didn't know where. And when they came to Jerusalem seeking direction, They assumed everyone must know about this baby also. But to their surprise, no one knew anything about baby Jesus. There was a star in the sky that guided the wise men. Verse 2 adds a detail that has baffled and intrigued Bible scholars and astronomers for 2,000 years. What was the star in the east? What did they see, and how did they know it was a special star that would guide them to Jesus? Well, it helps to remember that the wise men were students of the sky. The star, whatever it was, would make perfect sense to them and what they believed. You might say that if God wanted to get their attention to communicate a message, this was the perfect way to do that because they were scholars of the sky. Isn't that the way God works with us? When he wants to get our attention, he knows exactly how to do it. But still, what is a star? What was the star? Frankly, we don't know. Now, there are people who have tried to figure out the answer to this question. One theory is that it was Halley's Comet. Unfortunately, the nearest appearance was about 11 BC, which is simply too early for the birth of Christ. Another theory, it was a supernova. This is an exploding star that suddenly fills the sky with light in a brilliant, blinding way. These are unpredictable and very rare, and there is no record of a supernova in the years surrounding the birth of Christ. Another theory was it was a lining of planets. This is probably the most popular theory. One idea suggests that there was a unique lining of the planets that happens every so often. This would explain why the Magi saw it and other people didn't. Lining of planets would attract the attention of people. The lining of the planets wouldn't attract the attention of people who don't normally watch the skies. The fourth theory, which is one that I kind of think is correct, it was a supernatural light that God put in the sky. This theory suggests that the star was not a natural phenomenon at all, but rather a light placed by God in the atmosphere for the Magi to see. At certain points in history, God revealed himself as a light in order to guide his people. God used the pillar of light to guide Israel through the darkness. God used a bright light to get the Apostle Paul's attention on the road to Damascus in Acts 9:3. Whatever God used to guide the Magi, it worked. In verse 10, the Bible records that when they saw the star, they were thrilled. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to Jesus of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I was thinking another gift that I received as a young boy was an Erector set. Can you still buy Erector sets today? I don't know. It's been a while since I've looked for one. But it's a collection of different sizes of metal strips with holes in them, screws, nuts, washers, electric motors, wheels, and rubber bands. And with the help of the instructions, they suggested several things that I could build. So I went to work. And I let my imagination go wild. And the very first thing that I built was a crane. And I imagined lifting all kinds of things, cars and trucks and tractors. I could do all kinds of heavy lifting with this crane. Well, the gifts that they brought, that the wise men brought to Jesus, were gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What were the significance of these gifts? Well, let's take a look. The first gift was gold. Gold is the most precious of all metals. It's highly resistant to oxidation and corruption. Gold is soft and moldable, has a beautiful warm shimmer, and holds its value over long periods of time. In its purest form, it is extremely rare. And Genesis 2:11 records gold near the Garden of Eden. It is mentioned more than 1,000 times in the Bible, always as a treasure of the wealthy and the rich. Gold is the metal of kings. In ancient times, they would adorn themselves with gold to signify their high position and surround themselves with gold articles to proclaim their wealth. It was the perfect gift for this infant king. In presenting gold to Jesus, the wise men proclaimed him to be king, acknowledging him in his right to rule and that his throne was everlasting. As royalty born into a family of a young, poor family, Jesus was precious, highly desired, and his value exceeds everything and everyone. Gold became useful to Mary and Joseph when they fled to Egypt to protect Jesus' life from King Herod's decree. So we saw gold that they presented to Jesus. Another gift they presented to Jesus was frankincense. Frankincense is a very expensive resin gum that oozes from the boswellia tree when its bark is cut. It can be crushed and burned as incense, steamed to yield an essential oil. It grows in India, Northeast Africa, and Arabia. As an oil, frankincense is good for almost anything from cuts and bruises to common cold. Mary could have used it to protect Jesus and keep his body healthy. Traditional healing suggests that frankincense for anti-inflammatory and anti-arthritic abilities. For the Jewish nation, obtaining frankincense from the East was costly. God commanded priests to burn it at specific times in temple worship. Exodus 30, verse 34 says, describes its fragrance as a sweet savor and a pleasant offering to God. This oil was considered holy and set apart for God. The wise man brought this very expensive gift to worship Jesus, knowing that he is holy and set apart for God. Their gifts point to Jesus as our great high priest, the one whose whole life was acceptable and well-pleasing to the Father. So in this passage, we see that the wise men brought gold, they brought frankincense, and then they brought myrrh. What is myrrh? Well, let's see. Myrrh is a bitter rosin which oozes from cuts and thorny special shrubs of Arabia and East Africa. In the Old Testament, it was an ingredient in the holy oil used to anoint prophets who revealed God's will in words to his people. Medically, it is valuable to prevent infection, promote wound healing, and digestive health. Mark 15:23 says of myrrh being mixed with wine and offered to Jesus as he hung on the cross. It would have produced a pain-killing action in the brain, but Jesus refused it. Even though it is very expensive, myrrh was commonly imported to Egypt and surrounding areas to be used as a spice for embalming rituals. When the wise men brought myrrh to Jesus, it was the most bittersweet of the gifts. Because it symbolized suffering, pain, and death, it would be a disheartening and an offensive gift to any new mother. But to Mary, in light of her understanding of Jesus' purpose, it was a beautiful gift of the wise men's faith. The Bible doesn't say specifically what the wise men knew about Christ's ministry, but the Old Testament foretold his sufferings many times. Their gift to Jesus symbolized the bitter cup he would partake of, taking on our pain, suffering, and sin in his willingness to die for the salvation of us all. You know, I was thinking of the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. I remember when our children were born, especially our firstborn, people were gracious in the church that we went to. They brought us all kinds of gifts, you know, diapers and wipes and baby lotion and clothes, and you know, other moms brought us food to help us get through the first few days. I think they took pity on me or on Levita than me, because they knew I didn't cook. About the best I could do in cooking was heat up hot dogs and maybe eggs, and they knew that Levita would need more than just that to survive. So they brought in meals, which I was very grateful for, because we ate pretty good. You know, they brought us very practical gifts. Well, the gifts the wise men brought to Jesus were expensive and practical, but they weren't the greatest gift of all. For the greatest gift of all is the baby Jesus. He is the greatest gift of all, so that we could receive the greatest gift of all, salvation. Matthew 1:23 says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." In John 1:29 says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus. Jesus is the greatest gift of all, so that we could receive the greatest gift of all, salvation. Well, this morning we've talked about the wise men. We've discovered who they are, where they came from. We talked about the gifts that they brought to Mary and Joseph and Jesus: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How can we apply what we heard this morning to our lives? Let me make a couple suggestions. First, seek Jesus intentionally, not casually. The wise men traveled 1,000 miles to see the baby Jesus. When they left, they didn't even know where they were going. How many of you have taken off on a trip and you have no idea where you're going? We generally have an idea, but these guys didn't. They didn't know where they were going. Well, but the Magi traveled a great distance, at a cost because they believed Jesus was worth finding. Their journey challenges us to ask whether we pursue Christ with purpose or only when it's convenient. Another suggestion on how we can apply this passage of Scripture is respond to Jesus with humble worship. King Herod reacted to Jesus' birth with fear and manipulation. The same truth that terrified Herod transformed the wise men with humility and joy. And then number three, offer Jesus our best, not our leftovers. In a few days, we're going to celebrate Christmas. What gift do you hope to get for Christmas this year? Got something in mind? Well, I hope you get it. Whatever it is, you know, I hope that your desires come true. As you celebrate Christmas, remember that Jesus is the greatest gift of all, so that we could receive the greatest gift of all, salvation. If you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, don't let another Christmas go by without accepting the greatest gift of all. Why did Jesus come? We are the reason. You and me, that's the reason why he came. I want to close this morning with a song. And it's titled, "We Are the Reason." And the words of the song will appear on the screen. Is that right, Peggy? Okay. All right. Make sure we got our, everything's ready to go. And as you hear the song and read the words of the song, take to heart the incredible gift Jesus is and what he has done for you.